Tub Talk is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. Email us at tubtalk@cageclub.me with questions, criticisms, riddles, trivia, dating advice, cryptozoology, ideas for future episodes, and more. Head over to cageclub.me to check out other shows and email us tubtalk@cageclub.me. All right, we are back here with the next batch of songs. Tub Talk, numbers 80 through 61, songs from 1980 to 1999. We have Tom Mance right here.
Well, wait, just to update you, the NLCS game two. Milwaukee leads the Dodgers at home. Bottom seven, runner on first, one out. Christian Yelich at the plate, swings, pops one up.
Really, truly timing and dating this one.
Looks like Bellinger has a read on it, and he holds it in. Two down.
Here we go.
Brewers up one game to nothing.
Song number 80. I'm trying to find it on this list. Fiona Apple, Shadow Boxer.
I fucking love this.
I knew one of you guys was going to have Fiona Apple.
She comes back.
I don't have a whole lot to say. She's got a beautiful voice. I had a huge crush on her when I saw her in the Sleep to Dream video. Yeah.
Truly.
But this is not. This is just a beautiful song. She's got a great voice.
I like her, but I didn't have a crush on her.
The next song is one I have to look up on YouTube because it is a song by Tool.
Oh, yeah. This is my Tool representation.
Hooker with a penis.
I love this song, too.
Yeah.
Hooker with a penis.
I love the just, like, I think that this is a real story that happened to Maynard, so it's all about this guy who approaches Maynard about Tool selling out and, like, how pissed he is at the band for quote-unquote selling out.
And so he's like, I'll show you and I'll buy a vineyard.
And Maynard just writes a song telling this guy to fuck off, which I fucking love. It's also just straight up, like, it's, you know, Beastie Boys. Tool is, like, prog metal, and they're known for their, like, long instrumental passages and their unique time signatures and everything. And this is just a straight up fucking rock song.
What is your band of, like, coming home from somewhere drunk and, like, pounding another beer at home and putting something on loud and just, like, because Tool is probably my...
They're up there. That's a good question.
It's good hammered music.
Yeah. I don't know. But I got to see them live a year or two ago, finally crossed them off my concert bucket list, and it was great. Everything I thought it would be.
Next song, number 78, Naked Eyes, Always Something There to Remind Me.
Yeah, so this is another one of those 80s big gigantic pop songs like The Human League that I had on the last episode. This song still sounds great now. Like, it sounds current. The production sounds like it could be a hit right now.
The singing is very 80s, though.
The singing is very 80s. But the production of the instrumental is fantastic.
This is like, this feels like sucked out of the 80s to me. Just like one of those songs that sounds like one of those 80s one-hit wonder.
Would you
like,
say that's always there to remind you of 80s one-hit wonders? Songs.
You know, but you know what I mean? Like there's like maybe 5 or 10 songs from each decade where it's like, that band has no reference point other than this song.
Yeah.
But like the song's really good.
Yeah.
And it makes the list.
Absolutely.
Not the counter opposite of this, but very far from this, I think. Belle and Sebastian, My Wandering Days Are Over, number 77.
I really have nothing to say about this song. It's just a song I really enjoy.
I don't think of them as like a 90s band at all.
No.
I think the 2000s, like, yeah.
Yeah, but this is a very 90s song. This came out in the 90s.
I listened so much of this shit in my dorm room alone in college.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's kind of like a rainy fall day.
Yeah.
Just like,
emotions. Sebastian, yeah.
Could you masturbate to Bell and Sebastian?
More likely than not, yeah. Like, no, I'm not on purpose, not to it, but like to it, like, you know,
just it was in the background.
I put it on, like, I'm in here listening to music out there.
Alright.
RAs and fellow floor mates. Future wife.
Fair. This is the one thing I'll say about this song is that I like that he's basically like, I give up on being a social person. Like, I'm just going to be a hermit from now on. Kind of as I get older and I have less desire to, like, go out and be part of, like, the bar scene and things like that. I feel that sentiment.
The next song we had on the last episode, Walk by Pantera, was a crossover song. This is our next crossover song, Faith No More, Epic.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it's another one that we won't get to this batch, this song, but the next round of five, in some of these 70s, close to yours.
Okay.
Somebody has a 74, you have a 76.
The bass kicks ass on this song, the vocals kick ass on this song, the chorus kicks ass on this song, the video's great.
Cool. I saw Mr. Bungle once, and people kept yelling for them to play Faith No More songs, and Mike Patton got super pissed off.
As he should.
Mike Patton, a deceptively brilliant singer.
Yeah, Chris Cornell. I liked him at the Dillinger Escape Plan.
Yeah.
That's Vance's 80 to 76 now. Bob, here we go. Again, the man of the hour, quite literally, Chris Cornell, Can't Change Me.
Oh.
You have solo Cornell, too?
Yeah, I love it.
What the fuck's going on?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Cornell, baby.
No BC Boys, and how many combined Chris Cornell songs?
I can't
12?
Even. It's got to be
the fuck's up
easily
with
double digits.
This is the end of all Chris Cornell on my list, by the way.
Not mine.
This song rules, though.
Yeah, this song's pretty
yeah.
sweet.
Yeah, it's a good song.
Was this on an album where it was like green, black?
Euphoria Morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like a green like laser on black background. I got this song in my stocking for Christmas. And then, well, this album.
Was Like a Stone on your 2018 list?
No, fuck no. Fuck that.
Anyway, yeah, this song rules. I can't see on my list what's next. Oh, so we're staying in the same genre next.
Yeah.
Generally.
Stone Temple Pilots. Yeah. Turn down a hole.
Big Wait. Didn't I predict that this would be your
You predicted Big Bang Baby, which you were incorrect
enough.
About. Same album, though.
Close enough.
This has some of my favorite guitar in it of all time.
Yeah.
There's a guitar solo in it that's really really fantastic.
This is a song I know from, I think, Guitar Hero 2. I think this was Guitar Hero 2.
There you go.
Wait, we agree that Tiny Music is the best,
it's the best.
Stone Temple Pilots.
I'm actually going to go like this. Tiny Music, 4, Purple, Core, Shangri-La-Di-Da.
Really?
I think 4 is a great album. Super underrated. I know Purple is the popular choice.
Yeah.
4.
Okay. Interesting.
4. Okay, next. First appearance by this band.
This band will come back.
Maybe one of the best bands of the era.
Talking Heads. Girlfriend is Better.
Girlfriend is Better by Talking Heads. I think David Byrne is one of the all-time great musical artists. If you watch Stop Making Sense, it's just like this beautifully constructed concert that, I don't know, he's just a genius. And this song rules.
Can I ask, because I know there are more Talking Head songs, is that one of the three, the songs, do they have one of the songs that overlaps on all three of our lists?
Do you want to know that?
No.
Okay. No.
I won't answer that question then.
All right.
The next one is another band that comes up a lot, and this is also their first appearance. This is maybe their longest popular song, Guns N' Roses' November Rain.
Yes. See, I didn't want to include this because it was so obvious. Because
it's so obvious, yeah, but it's also like, I mean,
the best songs are obviously awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome, right?
It is a great song.
Fucking Slash walks out of the church.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen them live?
I saw Guns N' Roses live, yeah.
No.
I saw them a couple years ago on their tour. I saw them at Giant Stadium, and it was almost a 3-hour show.
Yeah.
And it was too much, but it was also impressive, like, how surprisingly good it was. For Slash being as,
yeah,
like,
pros.
Old and as sort of out of shape and overweight as he is, or was, or whatever.
Are you talking about Axl?
Yeah, Axl's the one who was really flirting with disaster for a decade or two.
Axl has more like costume changes than like Lady Gaga, but that's just because he sweats through his shirts.
When did you see him, Bob?
Axl is going to write a Get in the Ring-esque song about this podcast.
And you, Joey Lewandowski, with your Cage Club bullshit, fuck you! Get in the ring, when did you see him?
I saw them, remember when Jimmy Fallon introduced them at the MTV Movie Awards, and it was like this huge deal that they came back?
Yeah.
I saw them on the tour.
Was Axl fat?
He was wearing the white,
you
right?
saw
he
fat
was wearing
Axl?
White leather?
I saw them on the tour directly after that, when it was like Buckethead was the guitarist.
Pre-Chinese Democracy.
Before Chinese Democracy
came out. How was Axl's voice?
It was fucking album good.
Was he? Was it Dr. Pepper?
Incredible.
What company did the promotion that a Chinese Democracy came out the year it came out, everybody got a free something? Was it Dr. Pepper? I think everybody got a free Dr. Pepper if you mailed away for something.
You know, I don't know. My favorite Chinese Democracy story is that the dude from The Offspring.
Wait, question for you first. Does that mean that you have multiple Chinese Democracy stories?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
I'm a big Guns N' Roses fan. Guns N' Roses was maybe my favorite band when I was in high school.
Okay. We've had conversations. I think Chinese Democracy is a great album.
Yeah.
You also need to share that thing you put on our thread about Axl's Twitter feed.
His Twitter feed.
How Axl's Twitter feed is entirely political and all about Trump, but every time he says the word "and," he spells it "an apostrophe," as in Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, he's on brand. He's an apostrophe like, brand.
Don't forget about the Kogashi killing.
So this is what happens. Yesterday, Bob asks, "What time?" And I said, "Very good question." Man says, 3? Question mark. Sure. And I give my address.
Oh, Justin Turner cranks one deep left and it's gone. The Dodgers take the lead 4-3.
Out of
fucking
nowhere,
cranked it.
Bob just says, "Guys."
Jeremy Jeffers
Twitter is nothing but anti-Trump tweets. He spells "and" as an apostrophe. That was a screenshot of "and don't let any of that distract from the Khashoggi killing."
That's brilliant. Yeah, but so crazy. When Axl, we knew that Chinese Democracy was the name of the album for a very long time before it came out.
Years,
like 12 years. Was it like 12 years?
It was a long time, right? And so the guy from Offspring. Dexter Holland says that the next Offspring album is going to be titled "Chinese Democracy, You Snooze, You Lose."
That's so good.
And Axl,
that's why that guy's in Mensa.
And Axl immediately hits him with a cease and desist. But I wish that that had been the name of the Offspring album.
Here is, again, make fun of me if you will, this entire album, not this entire album, all Chinese Democracy is playable in Rock Band. The entire...
Yeah, that makes sense.
Shackles
it's like
Revenge
a promotional...
Order. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, we're going to talk about November Rain for the length of November Rain.
You only have another 5 minutes.
Let's get to the next one. All right. Which Tom should be proud, should like, I think.
Misunderstood, Wilco.
By Wilco.
Oh, yeah.
From Wilco's first album, which is not the most popular of their albums.
No, this is not their second album.
What's the second album?
Being There?
It is Being There, yeah.
Second album.
Oh, right. Oh, the double album.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I love this album.
Yeah,
and this song rules. This is another.
This
is like maybe the opposite of "Here Comes a Regular" because it's kind of about going home.
If we were doing top albums of this era, this might be like crack that list because I really dug it. I haven't listened to it in probably 15 years, but I really liked it back when I got into it. Whatever the fuck that was.
I tend to like the Wilco shit that's more like this, where it's like. Like, I really like Radio Cure, too, which is a song that a lot of people
don't
like.
And the album after this was good, too.
Summer Teeth is, that's my favorite Wilco.
A lot of, like, weird, like, fucking feedback-y parts.
Yep.
Yeah, but I'm a sucker for this kind of sentiment about, like this guy's coming home. And
I love, you're back in your old neighborhood and the cigarettes taste so good. Like, that's a great line.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's number 76 for Bob. We also did not mention, we have Tom Mance, Bob Fischer, Matt Erdley here. This whole episode, we've not reintroduced ourselves. I also don't know why you would start at 80 to 61. Like, this has got to be, in terms of the popularity of all of them, this is probably the least popular, because like people are going to start, and they're going to work their way back up from number one. You know what I mean? Like, this is the one that people give the shit the least about, probably.
What people?
You know, people. Whoever listens to this. Email mailbag at cageclub.me. Let us know if you listen to this.
So you're just saying because it's, like, if you were going to click on one, you wouldn't click on 80 to 61.
I think the mom's going to listen to this?
Oh, yeah.
As I walked out the door, because we stayed at her house last night, we had a party that I thought was going to derail this recording process. But anyway, my wife took the kids back down home. I got to ride with Bob.
This recording process is us.
Yeah,
right
that's
now.
True. But as I walked out the door from my mom's house to do this, she said, "Good luck."
All right. Well, this one goes out to Matt's mom. Number 80, Blur, Park Life.
Oh yeah, more Blur. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not British, so like. If I was British, this would probably be, like, 40 points higher than this. But, like, yeah, got into Blur and just was like, yeah, this Britpop shit is fucking so fun.
We were driving in Scotland a month ago, or however long it was, and this song, one of the BBC radio stations played this song, and it was the most, like, fuck yeah, I'm in the United Kingdom, like, moment. Like, they don't play Blur on the radio in America.
Yeah. I got nothing to say. I love it.
Next up.
Just classic, and then keep it on that side of the pond. This is another one of those vibe.
Ghost Town.
Vibe
special.
Songs. That, like, just is like a. It's just a vibe. Also, kind of in the pocket of songs that are like, I heard that fucking song a million and a half motherfucking times. Like, but. That shit's fucking great.
This is in Shaun of the Dead?
Yeah, I think so. That and that, you know, I can be started on that movie. I think that's one of the best screenplays of the decade. Without a doubt.
Best screenplays of the decade.
We're not gonna read 2005, 2008. Well, I don't know how to judge a screenplay, but, like, same thing with, like, Eastbound and Down. Like, sometimes when there's a production of something, and, like, the music is tight, and, like, the editing, like, syncs up with, like, the music and the acting, even, and, like, it just, everything seems like it was executed exactly the way that the guys making it wanted it to come across, and their ideas are fresh. Can't fuck with that. That's as good as it gets. That's what, and that's, like, kind of a criteria for making this list. Like, when you're listening to a song that's otherwise a good song, but if there's another one that's, like, kind of just as good, but also just sounds like, yeah, like, that's what the fuck this band wanted to do, like, and
yeah, you have to judge something by what it's trying to do.
Yeah, well, I guess you don't really have to, but, like, because we judge these however we want, but, like, I think we analyze things in somewhat similar ways sometimes, where, like, intent is a huge deal. Like, backing ass backwards into, like, a success is one thing, and, like, nothing wrong with that, but when it's, like, somebody's fucking blood, sweat, and tears, and, like, right time, right place coincidence, that shit's great. Which is not to say that this song is why we're talking about this kind of shit. Like, this is a good song, but I'm not saying this song is like, oh, what a beautiful combination of artistic intent, technological proficiency. Like, I'm not saying that.
And this song is from apparently the first scene of Shaun of the Dead.
I would say more accurately the next song.
Oh yeah, an American band, what I'm saying. But about Europe. Radio Free Europe.
Because this, you know, they'll come up a lot. But talk about, like, early on in the career and just doing a song that, like, is right sound for the right time from the right guys with the right amount of talent, just recorded the right way, sequenced the right way on.
This is a first hit, right?
College. Gardening at Night, I guess, was first. Oh, okay. This was the first song off Murmur, so, like, this is outside of Chronic Town. Put that album on, this is, like, fucking R.E.M.
This is your second R.E.M. song. This is your second R.E.M. song.
It won't be the last. Second of many R.E.M. songs to come, yeah.
This next song, I'm sort of surprised, a little surprised, not really too
surprised. This song could be higher, because, again,
This is also the only appearance by this band.
I'm shocked that either of you guys have this song on your list.
This is a great band, great song.
But this song specifically,
yeah.
When I heard it, as I was listening through my songs, as I was putting this list together, like, when this one would always come on, every time, it fucking rocks.
Yeah.
Like, it rocks every time you hear it. And like, you know, you talked about the bass carrying the day and whatever song you were talking about. But I will say, I saw this band at Summer Stage, like, 2 summers ago. I got hammered. Very hammered.
Stone
but, like, used that to get as close as I could to the stage. This fucking guy.
Hey, guys, I'm hammered. Let me close.
This fucking guy in this band thinks that Cake is, like, top 5 bands of the last fucking 20 years. He has such a high opinion of Cake. Like, he actually, like, said shit to the audience and be like, yeah, you guys aren't paying attention. It's like, first of all, fuck you, everybody's paying attention. Like, I'm here, and I'm hammered, and I know everybody's paying attention, so what are you even talking about? We're outside in the summer. And then he was just like, before he played this song, he's like, yeah, I bet half of you were only here to hear this song. And I was just like, man, just fucking play it, get the gold fuck home. Fuck you, he's saying stupid shit all night.
Fuck Cake.
Like, honestly, I love Cake, and like, they fall into the Motorhead AC/DC bucket of every motherfucking Cake song. More or less sounds kind of the same.
Yeah.
They find really interesting ways to do that song over and over again, and I'll listen to Cake albums and not get tired of it. But at the same time, you're not fucking, you know, Bob Dylan.
It's because of the dude's limited range, right? Is why they fall into that category.
Exactly. And I sing long ass all this whole fucking time, and I'm fucking so great. Like, where he gets his.
I love that.
Where the fuck do you get your balls?
I love that we're recording this, and like, by the 5th or 6th hour, Matt is going to be trashed. He's never going to be able to articulate why
is
the
saying I'm getting too angry about the Cake.
You'll see this again at the draft.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, this is a great audio representation of our fantasy baseball draft. The only thing is that, like, the more important stuff in this is coming later. The important stuff in the draft comes earlier.
Wait, when you'll know that he's appropriately hammered when he starts podcasting with one eye open.
That's why I wear my glasses instead of my contacts.
All right, the last song, this little batch. Number seven stinks. Up on the
one
side
of my favorite
by the
bands of all time.
Or just, I'm sorry.
And it was a choice between a couple of Meat Puppet songs to put on here. Like, but this is the one, same deal. It's like, the car test and like the dual car test of like driving fast while listening to it or sitting on your car in front of your parents' friend's house.
Has to be in front of your parents.
Yep, driving to your parents' friend's house, getting out of the car, putting the radio all the way up, and then going and sitting on the roof of your car, and then jerking off.
Hello to Matt's mom out there listening to this.
Driving to your friend's house.
The funny thing is my parents are out with their friends right now, having a nice dinner.
So what you're saying is we can go jerk off in front of their houses and no one will know.
The next episode will be recorded from the roof of your Subaru.
Alright, number 75 from Mance's list. Lenny Kravitz might be the only Lenny Kravitz song on any of these lists.
Wait,
it ain't over till it's over.
Lenny Kravitz sucks.
Fuck Lenny Kravitz.
Lenny Kravitz definitively sucks.
This is Lenny Kravitz?
But this is a good song. He had one good song. He's made one good song.
Well, no, I mean...
No, he's made one...
I thought this was going to be, I want to get away.
No.
This song kind of rules.
Yeah, this is a good song. He's got one good song. Other than that, fuck Lenny Kravitz.
But this isn't what his shit sounds like.
No, which is why it's good. It ain't over
like a
till it's over.
Situation where he was just like, I want to do like a silky smooth, funky.
I don't know. I'm not privy to his thought process, but.
But Lenny Kravitz is like a person that has been eligible for People's Sexiest Man every year since the beginning and has never won, and that is a crime.
Only surprise me, never a crime.
That is a crime.
Lenny Kravitz
is definitely sexier than Matt Damon. I mean, like, I'm
fucking
just...
Blake Schnorberger?
Snorting.
What's up, guys?
Blake Schnorberger. The sexiest man. The 1,100,000,475. Blake Schnorberger.
Yeah, he's married to Gwen Stefani, right?
That's an accountant somewhere. Blake Schnorberger. Yeah, no.
That's Blake Schnorberger, bro.
Next up, A Tribe Called Quest Award Tour.
Yeah,
all right. Yeah,
see, this is
there be a bunch of Tribe on this.
This is like the car test for me. You put this on a sunny day, roll the windows down, and just turn it up. Incredible song. R.I.P. Fife Dog.
Big Mets fan.
Not good on the diabetes. Drank too much soda.
Thumbs down. Diabetes.
Next up, Skilo.
Oh, nice! Is this I Wish?
Yeah.
I wish I was a little bit taller.
Yeah. Good choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, this probably... I should have put this
I wish I was
on my
list.
Another one-hit wonder, but
this
is...
I love this fucking song.
But, and then, like, everybody knows this song today.
Oh, yeah. I did this at karaoke with Lisa, like, a couple weekends ago, and she was like, yeah, that's okay. What are you talking about? That song's amazing.
Yeah, it's a great song. It's also, like let's consider also, like, the genius of this song is that it came out in the middle of the money, like the hip hop money era, where people were bragging about how much, they were flexing about how much money they had and how great they were, their cars and all that shit, how tough they were. And this guy's whole premise behind this song was like Napoleon.
I have a small dick.
Yeah, I'm tiny. Nobody likes me. Like, I'm too short. Like, I wish I was cool. I shout out to that. I like that.
But you're not a short guy.
No, I'm an above average
small
height.
Dick. Though.
Small dick.
I guess you have a
small
just
dick.
Kidding.
Yeah.
No comment.
The next
it's
song,
pretty big.
You've seen Tom's dick, probably, right?
He's got it out right now. Zip.
The next song is going to be on the next episode, too. It's another crossover song, Gin Blossoms, Hey Jealousy.
Oh, fuck you guys.
I hate this song. On your list?
Yeah, this song rules.
They have
How do you hate Eagle Eye Cherry and like this song?
This song's way better than Eagle
You Eye. Got me.
No, this is a good song.
Yeah, this shit. Oh.
All right, no, I'm gonna let Dad.
Right, I'm not trying to
what
mock
I just
your song.
Yeah,
I am trying
about
to
the way that you guys are wearing your microphones is that every time Bob talks, he like leans in to
that's
testify.
Because right, I respect the process.
I'm trying to do that too.
Is it not working?
No, it definitely is working. I just like Bob's.
I hope I'm not shouting into it.
I don't know. I'll figure it out in post. Don't worry about it. That's not your problem. It's my problem to figure out. I just want to give you credit for admirably. I understand the question, and I refuse to answer it.
Thank you.
I like beer.
That's visual comedy.
I still like beer.
This next song, I think, is another one-hit wonder. Digital Underground, The Humpty Dance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Shop G, right? Is the guy in Digital Underground?
Yeah. I this is another song that I have really nothing to say about. I just think it's a great song.
Yo, did you like Nothing But Trouble? Did you watch that movie as a kid?
Sucks dick.
Oh, that movie doesn't
it's,
suck.
It's not Dan Aykroyd with
his dick
it's
nose. Real
Dan Aykroyd, fucking Chevy
it's
Chase.
One of the worst movies
it's campy as hell, but it's fucking awesome.
That movie's fucking awesome.
I don't remember. No, that movie fucking rules.
I like Dan Aykroyd playing Bobo. If I win, I get her.
Get on the cereal.
That's my Bobo impression.
Me and my brother used to rent that movie.
Scary?
Are you really not familiar with
you don't think
Trouble?
It's scary?
Okay,
so you can watch it as a kid.
They perform this song in its entirety in Nothing But Trouble. They're brought in to local court.
They're pulled over, yeah.
They're pulled over by Dan, local court. By
John Candy.
John Candy, yeah. And they perform
the male role that he plays.
Yeah, John Candy plays a woman in the movie as well. Dan Aykroyd plays three or four roles. It's pretty great.
Nice.
He once got this
John Candy is, without a doubt, the most underrated actor of this period, 80s and 90s. I think his performance in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is one of the greatest acting performances of all time. Of all time, committed to film. Along with John Goodman in Big Lebowski.
Okay.
Big Man.
Big Man, right?
Named John.
That's your five.
Big John!
This next song, Bob's number 75, is the second song by Radiohead. Different song, of course, because it's all different songs. Also the same album, just off the bends.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mostly it's that the guitar in the song is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I like to say the guitar is fucking awesome, and then Matt and Mance are both drumming along to the song.
Well, that intro drum.
This is like starting a fire with you.
Yeah.
But like top to bottom, the guitars are incredible. Yeah. And I think I said to Tom a while ago that I didn't truly appreciate Johnny Greenwood until I listened to Tom York's solo stuff.
Yeah.
Johnny Greenwood is the genius
star. Yeah.
In radio.
If you ever need a 100%. Reason to appreciate Johnny Greenwood, just see them live and see how he plays eight or nine things.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. No, he is incredible.
Yeah.
And he's the star of radio. I mean, Tom York's great, and everyone in Radiohead is great. They're maybe the best band that has ever played music.
Yes.
But Johnny Greenwood is just incredible.
And the impressive thing about this summer.
Did you say Tom York is the best man who ever played music?
Yes, that's exactly
the
what
best
he said.
Man ever to live. Take a seat, Jesus.
But this summer when Radiohead
I thought you were
tour,
like a John Lennon guy.
Johnny Greenwood played a 45-minute set with the opening act, and then played a 2-hour and 15-minute set every night with Radiohead. He played 3 hours a night over two bands for an entire tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this song rules mostly because of the guitars. It's a fun song.
Yeah.
Next up, Built to Spill, Car.
Now, Built to Spill is a band that you guys aren't terribly familiar with.
A couple albums here or there.
They never grabbed me. Like, I've listened to a lot of them, and they just never
grabbed.
I really like, it's probably like the for like real fans, like the shittiest album, but Ancient Melodies of the Future.
That
I like that
rules.
Album a lot.
That album rules.
Yeah. Fly Around My Pretty Little Miss.
This album, There's Nothing Wrong With Love, like the first five songs are incredible. Like all of them were on this list, and then I like one by one took them off. This song though has, I like it a lot. There are lyrics in it that was like, originally part of my girlfriend's profile on social media when we first started dating. So, I don't know. It makes me think of her in a sappy, stupid way. But yeah, this band rules. It's good, like, 1990s skateboarding music.
Yeah, and this part specifically, like, it hasn't just, like, that same, like, chemical reaction to being out at night in the 90s. Like, it feels like that.
Yeah, night in the 90s.
Yeah.
A mixtape that we're going to make after this. Night in the 90s. Okay.
Now, Bob, these next two songs off your list are also crossovers with the same person, and they are both ranked much, much higher on his list. Next up, Danzig, Mother.
Oh, God damn it! How did I miss this song?
I have spent a large portion of my life defending Danzig from the haters.
Fuck that. Danzig's the fucking best.
Yeah.
This album's amazing.
It's incredible.
Damn. And so is Two.
2 is flawless from top to bottom.
You know, I probably haven't given 2 the time that it deserves, but I'm going to go home and I'm going to do that right after this. But yeah, Danzig fucking rules. He's part of one of the most iconic punk bands ever.
Especially and, Halloween coming up.
And this album was fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It's
recorded like a piece of shit. Like, it's like, when you listen to it, like, after you listen to another song, it's like all cool. Like, you have to turn it up like 5 notches just to be as loud as the other thing. Like, the recording of it is awful, but it fucking kicks a dick off.
You know, I've heard people criticize Danzig as being, like, doing a Jim Morrison impression, but I have to say that the Misfits and Danzig are better than the Doors in every single way.
It's not even close.
There's not one way that the Doors are better than Danzig.
I agree.
Okay, and next, I know that this is a crossover with Matt.
This is Prince. The first instance of Prince, who is...
Here he is.
For the record...
Which one is it? Let's see.
The most...
As he fucking should be.
Selected artist on this entire thing. 9 times. Be. Not music songs, 9 times. Times. I would die for you.
Oh, yeah. Yo, you know that. You know that's coming.
Purple Rain is... Every song on Purple Rain is perfect. It is a perfect album.
Is it your favorite album?
There are albums that I emotionally connect to more. That there are... Like, I might like OK Computer better, but I, like, don't like The Tourist. So I don't think that OK Computer is a perfect album.
You don't like The Tourist?
Fuck you with that look that you just gave me.
You don't like The Tourist?
I don't like The Tourist.
Oh, come on.
So and also, like... I like it, but Fitter Happier is a filler song. It's not like so like there are spaces within
more
that
like
album.
Filler Happier.
That's a good point, well taken. But OK Computer is not a perfect album in the way that I think that this album is a perfect album. I don't know that it's my favorite album. I think it's the best album of this generation of albums.
Have you seen the movie?
Yeah.
What do you think of the movie?
When I went to rewatch the movie after Prince died, I had seen it when I was a kid. And when I went to rewatch it, I thought it was going to be, like, as I remembered it, like, kind of a sexy movie about, like, fucking. But it's, like, a movie about, like, generational inheritance of abuse. And so it's, like, kind of much sadder than I want it to be.
It's a good beer.
But, yeah, Prince is, Prince is an alien. He's, you know.
That's good.
The best.
So I will have. So earlier this year, I had a barbecue, my housewarming for this house.
Ooh, that is good.
And I sort of had like a Mance like rule when I made my playlist. I was like, I don't have any artists more than
that's
3
good.
Songs.
I've never seen that.
Because I think even on a shuffle, like you run the risk of like having too many, right?
Yeah, sure.
But I was like, Prince is exempt from that rule because there's just too many good Prince songs that I don't want to leave off the list. So Alien, yeah. Oh, also,
I saw him at MSG like in 2009 or so, and like that was the thing. He's playing his songs and just, you know, one after the other, and he just at one point was one of the best live improvs I ever heard anyone do on the stage. And he just went, too many hits.
The best.
And just then played another great song.
The best halftime show I've ever seen was last year.
It was Prince.
The Vikings halftime. Home opener.
Yeah.
In the new stadium. They had a gospel choir from Minneapolis come out, and they sang, like, 3 Prince songs. The entire crowd had their phones out with the lights on.
You were there for that? Like,
yeah.
Live? Oh, wow.
It was incredible. It was basically on the scale of, a small Super Bowl. Like, it was, like, because it was a big event, the home opener, Prince being the hometown. He just died, I think, within the last year. And it was incredible. All right.
Yeah.
Next song.
Taking it down a little bit.
Not by Radiohead. A song called Creep. TLC.
Yeah.
I think the obvious choice for TLC is Waterfalls,
sure.
Right? But
we may be talking about that later.
I like this one better.
Me too.
This
like
is a good,
I
this
think
is a
Waterfalls
good
isn't that. I don't know. I don't think it's that great of a song.
We'll talk about it next
really
episode
potentially.
We'll potentially talk about it next episode. But yeah, this song's great, and it's a great video, and I think it's probably the first song that I heard by them.
Yeah.
You know, they're one of the bands that I think currently probably doesn't get as much love as they should get.
Yep.
And probably influenced a lot more people than they get credit for, and this song rules.
Who
and
died?
It also has a...
Who died? Left Eye?
Left Eye died,
yeah.
In a Jeep accident.
All right, thanks.
I thought it was a plane crash.
Nah, it's Aaliyah.
Oh, wait. Aaliyah, is she a miss? She might be on this list.
I meant to put her on my list, but again, she's on Spotify, so like it just kind of slipped.
She's on
my
Spotify.
Mind.
Huh? She's on Spotify.
She has like one or two of her albums.
Not the
song. Well, there is a song that we might get to next episode that is on Spotify.
This is a great beat, too.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the beats from this era, like early Destiny's Child and this shit, like, they're pretty thin when you listen to them. Yeah. Like, they just aren't. Yeah. They don't have, like, the. I don't know about production.
And this song, I feel like this song, like No Scrubs still gets a lot of love, and Waterfall still gets a lot of love, but I don't think that this song gets as much
underrated
as it should.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this gets like the underrated vote.
Yeah.
You know, like. Okay. Is that's all for me?
That's all for you. Now for Matt. Talked about this band already. The Clash, Police on My Back.
Great intro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great intro always gets me points on the song, and funnily, like thinking about that, there's a song that comes on later on my list that I also thought about dropping entirely, but it has a great ending, and I heard it, and I'm just like, fuck, how many songs have like a great end? Because so many songs that are great fade out.
Fade out is bullshit.
Fade out's
right?
Bullshit. But it doesn't diminish my enjoyment of a song ever. Because, like, it's the end of the song. Who gives a shit? But when a song can have a good ending.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Wow. What a clear statement that is.
I had a music theory teacher in high school who fucking hated the fade out. He decried any band that did the fade out frauds because, in his
that
opinion,
seems
like,
a little extreme.
Well, his opinion was like,
the Beatles never faded out. Like, give me a fucking break.
Well, his opinion was, fuck you if you're a musician, figure out how to end the song.
Well, how about if you're a fucking teacher, write a great song?
Well,
you fucking shit for fading their great song.
Those who can do, those
whoever
who can,
your fucking teacher is sounds like a total asshole.
He was, and we hated him. But it was a point.
Was about Mance's teacher.
It was a point that I could consider.
I don't consider that at all. I think that's looking for some shit to complain about.
Next song's one that we've already talked about, Faith No More, Epic. There we go.
My favorite Faith No More album is Angel Dust.
Yeah.
That album fucking rules so much.
This is not the real thing?
Huh?
This is not the real thing?
And like, I don't even really fuck with this album at all.
Yeah.
But this song, it was one of those songs as a kid where I was like, when you don't know what music is yet and you're trying to figure out like what you like, it's like, I like that. I remember being a little kid and hearing this song being like, that song's cool.
Yeah.
Like, cool people like that song. Like a lot of people like it, but, like, that is just a cool song. Because, like, you could already, like, I could already sense, like, it's bombastic, but, like, guy's not being serious about it.
Right,
like, there's something about
it
that just has, like, it's kind of like a Ween thing, almost. But, like, a lot of Faith No More is this. Like, just over the top, like, that's why, I mean, this song's called Epic.
Yeah.
It's pretty on the nose. It's fucking great. Dude, Granny Man, just crank one!
Do you have any opinions on their comeback album a couple
of
years ago?
Yo,
it was good. It was better than I thought it would be.
There was a song, a Cone of Shame,
on
that album.
Yeah.
That was in my top 10 songs of that year. That song fucking kicked ass.
I haven't listened to it.
It's good.
The
it's
whole
a, it's a good
decent,
album,
Cone of Shame fucking shreds.
You know,
balls.
Like, Mike Patton never left. He's been around doing
right.
different
Phantom
things.
Phantom
Tomahawk
and all that shit.
Yeah. Like, he's always been around.
Mm-hmm. Next up is a band we've talked about
another one.
A lot already. We're
another
gonna
one.
Keep talking about Fall On Me by R.E.M.
This was your boy Scott Aukerman's number one R.E.M.
Life's
song on the fucking R.E.M. podcast.
Are you talking R.E.M. remake?
And I would say, so what's funny, when we did our R.E.M. list, this, I think, was my number two song. And I have, like, four R.E.M. songs higher than it on this list. And actually,
there's a lot of R.E.M. to come.
Yeah, there's a lot to go. But I just feel like, again, it's kind of like because they have so many good songs, I did find myself falling back on, like, Falling On Me. falling back on, like, indicative songs of an era.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this was the first, like, is the first, like, is a initial, like, initial era R.E.M., but the first song of, like, oh, they can do these, like really triumphant, like, and then culminating with, like, Everybody Hurts type of thing. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's on there. All right, next song is a band that I wish I could put on this list more than I have been able to.
My boy Scott Aukerman, they have he and Paula Tompkins have a joke that they want to turn May 19th into Steely Dan Day for May 19, Hey 19.
I mean, Steely Dan. The next list that we
this
do.
This is an 80s, 90s
19
song?
Fucking 80, Gaucho, wow. Man. And like, this isn't even my favorite song off Gaucho, which would be the titular song, Gaucho. But again, for the purposes of the playlist.
So what's up?
Yo. Do you know, you guys fuck with Steely Dan at all?
Yeah.
You fuck with Gaucho?
Not really.
I'm mostly
familiar with Pretzel Logic and Asia.
Check out Gaucho.
Okay.
It's the slickest one, and there's a couple songs on there that I would love to get your opinion on.
This song sounds like a song that you, like, do coke to in the early 80s. Like, I feel like cool people would do coke in high-rise, New York high-rise, just listening to this song.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I think you drive to your accountant's office to this music.
That's the exact opposite experience.
And then do cocaine with
No. You, like, blow a line and then, like,
do your taxes.
It's gonna be stressful. Jacked up.
Next song, maybe cocaine-related, maybe not.
And yeah, I think this is maybe one of the, like, title songs of the era. Yeah.
The Breeders.
I honestly probably should have this song higher.
This almost.
I'd be very surprised if it wasn't on your guys' lists.
It just missed mine.
This is the only Breeder song in the top 100 for anybody.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, Kim Deal, man.
I just feel like, if I was putting together, like, a 1 minute, like, YouTube video of music in the 90s, it would probably start with this.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I would like this to be 100, but it's way better than song 100, it probably is even higher than this. Just because it, like, a lot of the things we talked about makes you feel like you're outside in the 90s. First time you heard a certain song, like, the bass line that rules.
Wait, okay, so I have a question about that.
Did
Camille ever have a bass line that cool when she was with Pixies?
No.
Because she was holding it.
She left. But also, like, do you think Frank would have ever let her start a song with a bass riff?
Yeah.
Never.
He would have been like, fuck that.
Yeah.
All right. Next little
batch of
songs.
Wailing, squealing over it.
Next little batch of songs. Mance, number 70.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's
Regulate, Warren G and Nate Dogg.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
Didn't quite make my list, but it was almost good.
Yeah. This is right about when I first started listening to rap music, when I was a 10-year-old or however, you know, suburban, middle-class white kid listening to Dr. Dre and Regulate.
The number one purchaser of rap music.
And Snoop Dogg, yeah, I was a total fraud.
You're a 13-year-old fraud.
But this is a great song.
Fraud.
R.I.P. Nate Dogg.
He died?
Yeah.
Especially Death by Bees.
I feel like this is a song, like if you, we could make like a top 10 list of songs off of our top 100 lists that you could play that no one would ever have a problem with.
Right,
like,
yeah, 10 songs.
It doesn't matter where you are, you put him on, everyone's fine with it. This is definitely one of them.
Yep.
Do all of his songs sound like this? Or is this a song that just everybody knows?
I had the Warren G album, and I don't remember anything about it outside of this song.
All right.
Is his son the guy who made the sex tape with Kim Kardashian or something?
Ray J?
Ray J?
Is he related to him?
I don't know.
I don't think
that
so.
Seems like a fact you would know.
Ray J and Ray J's dad, Google, Willie Norwood.
Okay.
So I'm assuming... Although people also search for Billy Preston and Big Bert.
All right.
Fuck yeah, Big Bert.
I don't know. All right, next song is off. I hope this is an album that both Bob and Matt have heard, because this is one of the best albums maybe of all time. DJ Shadow's introducing Building Steam.
Oh, shit.
With a grain of salt.
What?
That says he should have put something off this album.
Building Steam with a grain of salt, yes.
This should, I would totally have this on my list.
This is a great album.
It's a great drum beat.
I thought this was 2000s.
No. This was like 99,
98. And producing was 1996.
96, yeah. I mean, this, like, all the weirdo hip hop that I listened to in college, like the Def Jux era and the Company Flow and Aesop Rock and all that stuff, RJD2, like, it all came from this album, which is saying something. And this is just like when the drums kick in, which they do eventually. There you go.
I just read the 33 1/3 of this book.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, this song. Like, if I was using my criteria of what songs have I just heard the most on my, like, iPod and still here now and still are great now, like, this has to be on the list.
This sounds like he could... You could put this album on and tell somebody that it came out in 2018 and it would still sound kind of innovative.
Yeah.
It's just great. It's just fucking great.
And also, like, one of the artists who... Talk about, like, putting out one genius album and then completely falling... As far as quality is concerned,
was okay. I thought that was pretty decent. I thought.
I mean, he was like genius level on
but
this
album.
Album
is
never
like,
yeah.
Yeah, oh, this is
Pantheon is great album.
Would be top 100 albums of this era, easy.
Number 68, Slam by Onyx.
Oh shit! Yeah.
Talk about like we all you know. You said ODB was one of your favorites with Method Man. This entire group is made up of people with that ODB energy.
Oh, nice.
Like, listen, just wait until the verse kicks in. Like, I want to listen to a little bit of the verse and just hear them going off of each other. Listen to that.
Off the album, Back the Fuck Up.
Yeah.
One word. Yeah.
I had an Onyx poster when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And it had them all looking at the camera, and then it said... Who you calling the N word? But then I recognize that is an inappropriate poster for like a 12-year-old to have.
Right,
a 12-year-old white boy to have.
Yeah, this song just has incredible energy.
Now, this next band is a band that I forever in my head link with Queens of the Stone Age because my friend. My friend told me to listen to this band, the Queens of the Stone Age. I never clicked with this band, but Queens became one of my favorite bands. Our Lady Peace, Thief.
Oh, yeah.
Our Lady Peace, nice.
This is like one of the criminally underrated albums of the 90s rock era. Happiness Is Not a Fish You Can Catch is an incredible album. Front to back, there's not a bad song on it. This one is kind of like the big ballad, which is sort of up my alley.
I'm a big Potato Girl guy.
Yeah, yeah,
I like
yeah.
that song a lot.
Yeah. There are two albums from the 90s that I think are just horribly overlooked. One of which, the other of which, I'll be talking about later. But this is just a great song.
This is 99? It's got to be close to 99, right?
Who is this?
Our Lady Peace.
Pride of Canada.
See, Superman's
my,
Dead?
This is 99.
Yeah, I gotta say, I really Bob, don't like this song.
Okay. Cool. Sorry.
That's the next song. So I said the best halftime show I've ever seen was the Vikings, you know, gospel choir. The funniest one was I was at a Nets Cavs game. Montel Jordan comes out, sings this one song, and then leaves.
The Did you pick a Montel Jordan song?
The one Montel Jordan
the
song.
The Montel Jordan song.
Sorry, I was thinking of Montel Williams.
This is how we do it.
The talk show host? Yeah, this is just a lot of the songs on my list are just like feel-good hits where you put them on at a party and everybody knows all the words. This is another one. This is just a good song. It makes people happy, which is what music is supposed to do.
That is a unilateral statement that I don't necessarily agree with.
Yeah, I don't even agree with it, but it felt right to say it in that moment.
But I would feel happy if this song came up.
Yeah,
if
for
I was
sure. Yeah, this song rules.
All right, Bob, you're number 70.
Oh, shit.
Common People by Pulp.
By Pulp, yeah. How are you guys on Pulp? Is it a band that you're into? Or
I don't know a whole lot about
reading a lot of things where people were trying to say that Pulp was like this song, I think didn't Pitchfork have this as like their top song of the 90s or some shit?
I don't know.
I know you look a lot like... The Pulp Jerks guy, Parker. Yeah. That's all. That's the most I know about Pulp.
Very handsome man. Yeah.
He wore big sunglasses, right?
It's like it's Pulp. Pulp is this cross, like this intersection between sex and class. And this song is about you know how poor people or how rich people sometimes pretend that they're poor, and it's fucking awesome. It gets into like a David Bowie bit of singing later on. I'm distracted by what you're doing by my face.
I was holding
right
up a picture of Jarvis Cocker next to Bob, and they don't really look much alike at all.
I think maybe later on. Can I show you guys? Well, this is a not podcast thing, but I'll show you a picture later of someone that I do look exactly like.
Michael Caine.
My cocaine. Yeah, I love Pulp. Pulp is Pulp rivals Blur. and Oasis as my favorite Britpop band. Like, those three are very...
I thought for you specifically, Oasis was, like, number one with a bullet.
No. Those three are very, very close. Very close.
I'm as surprised that Oasis isn't pulling away with it as I am that Blur and Pulp are tied. Yeah. Oh, how about, you know who motherfuckers over in Scotland love is Stone Roses.
Yeah. I want to be adored.
That one album went ape shit. Every fucking young kid I talked to in Scotland, they were fucking going ape.
But I
want to
be adored and she bangs the drums. Like, that whole...
Stone Roses. That one album's great. I love it, but like...
But none of us have it on our list.
Yeah. No, and I didn't even consider it, and I wish I had.
It's a bridge between shoegaze and Britpop.
We were in a bar one night, and it was like they had music videos playing, and like... It was like this. The sound system in the crowded bar, and like it synced up with what we were watching on the TV. And it was some like Stone Roses like live performance video, and I was just, and like I said to the guy, "That's fucking awesome." What was it? He's like, "I Stone Roses." I could do a good Scottish accent when I was there. It left. But anyway, like he was like the third person who was just like, "Yeah, fucking Stone Roses are like my number one shit." I'm like, "Oh wow, fuck yeah, cool, good." Not gonna hear any Stone Roses tonight, though, ladies and gentlemen.
No.
Look on your own.
Next up, Born Slippy by Underworld.
Born Slippy by Underworld. You guys know this one?
Yeah.
I know Underworld, but not this one.
This is the one that you. This is the big Underworld.
In parentheses.
Oh, maybe
Nux.
Maybe I do know it.
Yeah, it's this is on the Trainspotting soundtrack, I think, among other places. It's just like a great dance.
This sounds like a song that I know, or maybe I know this song.
I don't know. Only you can answer that.
We'll find out.
Why are you asking us?
I don't know. I am, but I know that you don't know the answer to that question.
Only you. I saw them live at a big, not big field day, because that didn't happen. Or that did.
Are you okay?
I don't know.
Getting very emotional.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm losing it. So, do you know it?
No, I don't. I just feel like I know the intro, but maybe the intro sounds like something.
I don't know.
Are these guys British?
Yeah. I think it's the only song like this on the whole list for me. This sort of more like bass heavy dance music. Mm. The bass really kicks in.
Let's skip it forward a little bit.
Fucking hey.
Well, this is not at all the song I thought it was going to become.
The bass did kick in.
Wow, okay.
Okay, yeah, let's go on to...
This next song is a song that we're going to be talking about again in a very long time. Outkast, Rosa Parks.
Yes. Another overlap song.
Yeah, this is a... Outkast, I think, is one of the best artists of the last 20 something.
Well, you were saying Andre 3000 youth as your artist of the century, the millennium so far, right?
So far, yeah. If not, it's hard to compare things to Radiohead, but yeah, he's got, you know, between Hey Ya and between the he's also got a great number of features that are incredible.
Yeah, I love Outkast. Outkast is one of my favorite acts of all time. I don't even know if Andre is the best member of Outkast. But that's not besmirching Andre. Andre's fantastic.
I think I agree with you.
But Big Boy.
You might agree with you.
We'll talk about that more when we talk about the 2000 to 2018.
Next up.
During the World Series, which will come after the NLCS Game 2, which is in the bottom of the ninth. Milwaukee is up. One out, down 4-3. Nobody on, zero balls, one strike. Hernan Perez, who is
very
one
specifically
on
timed to this moment. Next song, Amy Mann's "Wise Up."
Oh, nice.
We've journeyed into the sad female singer songwriter. No.
Oh, this is just off live. Just the first one that Spotify picked up.
Yeah, that's fine. I think, like most people, I probably came across the song on. In the film Magnolia. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, she and Paul Thomas Anderson have a very long connection of her doing songs for his movies.
That's right. She's married to Michael Penn, I think, I believe, if that's correct.
They duetted on the I Am Sam soundtrack, covering the Beatles.
Okay, yeah, classic movie. Also has Fiona Apple covering Across the Universe on that soundtrack, which is one of the...
Wait, Fiona Apple?
One of the great covers.
Like the next song, Fiona Apple, Criminal?
That sounds like it's
true. Wow, Joey just transitioned for you.
I didn't mean to cut off your feeling.
I love that Amy Mann song. I love all the songs on that soundtrack, and
it's
I love her.
Awesome.
Yeah. She's my favorite singer of all time.
Yeah, and speaking of wonderful, Fiona Apple is. I think this is one of those times that I picked the hit.
Mm-hmm.
I might like Shadowboxer better than this song,
which we talked about last episode.
But this song has the, you know, it won the MTV award, I think. that might be correct.
This is also, like, it's the hit, but it's not, it doesn't sound
it's
like a hit.
It's a subversive hit. Yeah, it's really, yeah, like, yeah, like, dangerous, yeah, and aggressive. Yeah,
dark. It's all sexy as hell.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
And
yes,
she was, like 18 or something, yeah, when the song came out, and she's just, like, you know, she's so talented, and I wish she would do more. I wish that she had more albums coming out.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's enough.
You're happy with Extraordinary Machine title, and
yeah, I mean, I think
when the
she
lamb lies down on Broadway, yeah, and then, yeah, takes, yeah, a shit on, yeah, Second Street.
I feel like she's one of those artists who needs, like, My Bloody Valentine, who she needs a long, yeah, time between albums to do her thing, and that's fine.
Isn't When the Lamb Lies Down on Broadway a Genesis album?
Genesis album. That's, yeah, my mother's favorite album of all time. Shout out Laurie Van Winkle.
When the pawn something.
In the pawn. Yeah,
when the pawn,
yeah,
hits the conflict, he thinks like a king. And then there's a million more words,
yeah,
after that.
Yeah.
Our next batch is all right.
Now this is the song that's on my list that if I showed this list to myself back in high school, I would say, sorry, there's no Fun Loving Criminals on here. But
oh god,
I'm surprised that this is as late as it is.
But Rush survives into your mid-30s
on this
and makes it stronger.
List.
This song fucking kicks ass, and fuck you if you don't think
it
so.
Does.
This song rules.
I'm sorry.
I will say that
this
I'm also
album is amazing.
I'm also sad that you don't have a Fun Loving Criminals.
Man, I know. All of
because
Robert?
Everyone knows the Fat Bird.
No,
don't say
don't,
I fucking
don't
hate
Rush. Fly? Isn't Don't Fly?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Rush.
Everyone
sucks.
Knows Fat Bird. Don't Fly.
Well, Tom is really into
Tom's
Tom.
Anti Rush.
I hate
anti
Rush.
Prog rock.
I hate
anti
Rush.
Tom Sawyer.
That's
anti
fine,
movie
Tom.
Pictures.
Yeah, I understand that Rush is pretty much the anti emo.
Yeah. Yes.
But they come from the same place, like loneliness and nerdiness.
This is
like,
the point that I will get aggressive toward each other.
Yeah. No, it's all right.
No, we're allowed.
But
you
still
not
got
like things.
60 songs to go. Each.
Like, yeah, you
prepare
don't
for a fuck you fight around.
This is just like wanking
35.
Music. Like,
it's not. Ugh. It's not. This song. Come on.
Incredible.
Make it a little bit louder for 1 second for our friend Tom here.
They're all
for our Rushless
friend Tom.
They're all incredible musicians.
Listen to this. Listen to this transition.
I've heard this song a million fucking times in my life.
Love that life.
Whatever. You're never gonna change someone's opinion on.
I'm with you. I think Rush is good.
Next song.
Next song is a
second appearance by this band.
It's a song that Mance will have in a little bit. The replacement.
So we've all got a replacement song.
Oh shit! All right. That's like a little bit shocking, I guess.
Yes.
There we go. Is that the first band we've had all three of us
have? High five each other. So proud of their own. Giving the replacements their due.
Well, you know, not everybody like I feel like if I. So I teach college, and I feel like if I walked into a college classroom and asked them about the replacements, I feel like none of them would know who they were.
We're not college kids.
Yeah.
We're
yeah,
as old as you.
I know. I'm saying this is like, I think it's a specific, well, it's actually specific to the generation
before
us.
Right? Exactly. And this isn't my favorite replacement song, but I thought it was good representation.
It's a beautiful song.
I love
song.
This song.
It's a beautiful
great.
Song.
I think it's the, it's not a great album cover, but it's the best idea for a picture for an album cover of a bunch of dudes
on
like
a roof.
Sitting on the roof,
yeah,
like right near the window, because it's the kind of music that sounds exactly
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Hey, let's just crawl out the window of my room, man. The roof's right there. We'll drink a few beers and listen yep. to some fucking Ramones, you know, tapes and summertime. But bring your leather jacket anyway, kind of like it. Just it's a great fucking like. Picture.
I could have put like five or six replacement songs on this
yeah.
list.
Are they they're a criminally underrated band now, right? Like
I think they're pretty highly regarded.
But only
general.
By like Pitchfork. Like when I say underrated, like I feel like people don't know who they are.
Like my dad loves replacements.
Does he?
Yeah.
Your dad's cooler.
Is
than
your dad listening to this episode?
Well, his
my dad
has.
Doesn't have the internet.
So no.
That's how cool he is.
No, it sucks. Like, he babysat my girls last night, and he was like, hey, bring some DVDs. And I was like, I don't need fucking DVDs. Like, you get the fucking, get Netflix. Jesus.
Next song, In the Meantime, by Space Hog.
Nice.
You know, is this on your list?
It's
no,
on nobody
really,
else's list.
No. Really? But you did talk
good
a lot
song.
Smack about Space Hog being on your list beforehand.
Yeah, you did.
Guy couldn't stop talking about Space Hog.
I love this song.
Guys,
I have
so
loved
cool.
this song.
I picked Space Hog.
The funny thing about this song, I have it listed at what? Number 68. I've loved this song as much as I do now as when it came out, like, unbroken from then till now. Like, this song, anytime this song would come on, I'd be like, fuck yeah. It's great.
Yeah. Gotta let it kick
in. It's a little frog. It's like a little frog. It's a little grunge.
Yeah, this song rules.
Wow, 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 wow. good guitar, good singing, yeah. Good lyrics.
It's a good song.
Yeah. Speaking of guitar, singing, and lyrics, Tom
this
Petty.
This is the song I was referencing earlier.
You Don't Know How It Feels.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this song, believe me, I looked at this a million ways from Sunday. I was like, this song can't. Like, I had this way high. I had this song way high, and it worked its way down, and I was like, there's no way this song is staying on the list. And it is staying, because I fucking love Tom Petty, and this is the song that I referenced that has a great ending. Because, like...
Do you want to skip ahead to the ending?
In a minute.
I want to listen to this.
For, like, a few seconds, at least. Like, it's not the best Tom Petty song. And like...
Is it the highest Tom Petty song on your list?
Fuck no.
Okay.
Wait, maybe not fuck no, but no. I would put a lot of time... Like, I'm unabashedly...
You have another three Tom Petty songs.
Yeah.
And Tom Petty... This is just Tom Petty.
I don't have any Tom Petty songs in my list.
Tom Petty has the... We talked about this privately. Yeah. Tom Petty has the greatest hits album of all time.
Yeah, and like, it spans from 1979 to... Maybe not 2000, but whenever Mary Jane's Last Dance came out, 94, whatever.
Yeah.
So like, basically what you're saying is the era that we're talking about today is his greatest hits album. Is it 79 to 2000?
A little bit before.
But, like, you know, like, you could go through that greatest hits album and I could put, like... Learning to Fly up here and all the other bigger hits, but there's certain songs like Tom Petty's underrated as a you're just in like a dive bar with a bunch of like dive bar drunks like that genre of Born Zevon to me tickles that same bone. Like Tom Petty slides into that arena way more than he gets credit for because he's kind of a douche. Like, he's kind of like a self-serving douche over the course of his like career. Like I admit that, but like he also wrote pretty like heartfelt like losers. Like even like yeah. All right,
let's
so just skip to the very end because the thing that kept this on the list was the way it ends.
With that like boogie guitar, you're doing your own.
There we go. Next up, Mission of Burma.
Didn't fade
That's
out.
When I reach for my revolver.
Oh, yes!
This song fucking rules!
This almost made my list. I really wanted to put this on.
Oh, this made me so happy, man.
This is a great song.
Worth noting that there is a picture-perfect Graham Coxon cover of this song.
Really?
Yes, there
sounds
is.
Sounds exactly the same.
This whole album is fantastic. Academy Fight song.
Yeah. Like, another one that, like, distinct parts that are so different from each other, but individually are great parts of songs. It's so good. That's why R.E.M. was really good at that. Like, they've read a great verse, you're just like, oh, I'm so enjoying listening to this verse. And then the chorus kicks in, and you're just like, oh, fuck me! It goes somewhere else that's as good, if, you know, better.
Last little batch of songs on this episode. First two from Mansear. Both are going
to
talk about.
Wait, just wait till
again
this gets to the.
You gotta wait till the chorus kicks on this.
It's right here.
Really a little bit more. Mission of Burma. Here we go.
Also, should have been the name of the last Rambo movie.
Wait, did he shoot himself in the face at the end?
What? No, Mission of Burma should have been the name of the last
one.
Oh,
my revolver should have been.
Sorry.
I thought maybe it was the
first
time I didn't know. You're like, I'm tired. I can't stand it no more.
He does shoot a lot of shit in that movie, though.
That has one of the highest, I think, death counts in the history of movies, that Rambo movie.
It's a good one.
These next two songs by Mance we will get to again later. 65, Pixies, Where Is My Mind?
Yeah.
Is that on all three of our lists?
No, there's
not on yours.
Really?
No.
Really? Do you have other Pixies on yours? Okay.
So you hate Fight Club, Bob?
I'm not crazy about Fight Club.
I'm not as big of a Pixies fan as you guys are, which isn't to say that I don't like them. It's just to say that you guys like them way more than I do. But this is an incredibly brilliant melody right here. Everything about this song is so brilliant. In that this is a hit. This is a pop hit song that's written in such a deranged kind of way, but I love it. I love the negative space in the guitars and the way that they interact with each other. and then everything dropping out right now. It's just a great song.
I think I may have done the douchey thing of like not putting this song on my list because it's like the Pixies song that's in a movie.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
I may have tried to self-consciously dig.
Yeah.
But that's why Smells Like Teen Spirit isn't on my list, right?
Right.
Yeah, also, I just think Nirvana has better songs than that, too.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah. All right.
The next song is another one we're going to talk about this round, Snoop Dogg, Gin and Juice.
Who else has that on their list?
Mr. Matt Early.
Yeah.
I was gonna say we'll see. It's surprising to me that I have this song higher than you.
Why? Why does that surprise
by,
you?
By, you're by more three, of a hip-hop guy than by three
true.
Places. It's
that's
basically
true.
The same thing.
Yeah.
That's true. That's
The little trivia about this song, I can rap along the entire censored version of the song better than I can the regular version because
that's
I used
the
to.
The weirdest shit you've said yet.
Because it used to be on MTV all the time growing up, and I obviously.
Yeah, I know the Forgot About the Rain censored version better than I know the unedited version because it's the same thing. Like, it was everywhere, clean.
Yeah.
And you had to find it to find it unedited.
Also, the music video, Snoop. Is rocking a Pittsburgh Penguins jersey.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
Which, like, I'm not, obviously not, you don't know my hockey allegiances. I'm not a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, but, like, I respect the fact that he wore a hockey
Tom
jersey.
Tom has the Devil's logo tattooed on the tip of his penis.
Yes.
Also, then, I mean, this was the Lemieux and Yager era.
Yeah,
Ron Francis era.
Yeah.
So. Next up, this is a song, Living End, Prisoner of Society.
Yeah, this is a song that probably nobody else here knows.
I know it.
I know this.
Is this Velvet Revolver?
No. This song is cool. This band played with a stand-up bass.
Yeah, that's
they
right.
were a punk
that.
Band that played with a stand-up bass. This song is just a really energetic, awesome song. It was a very, very, very minor rock radio hit when it came out, but
I know it because it was Guitar Hero 2. Like,
yeah.
It was big in that world.
You know music.
I've never heard
like
this
weirdest
song.
Whiz.
No, I just know it from video games.
I remember this band. I don't remember the song.
Really? This was like their one big
big-ish
song.
I actually sent Mance a link about this. There's a really cool video on YouTube that there is a guy riding a bicycle through town to the Guitar Hero track of this. Like, he painted on the ground all the like icons, and he follows it through as the song plays. It just... I can't imagine how difficult it was to actually film that. It's very cool.
This song is like is a perfect example of... greatest versus favorites. Like, there's no way I would consider this one of the 100 greatest songs of this 20-year span, but...
I would have to agree.
But I fucking love this song. Like, personally, I love this song.
The next song, again, one of the most popular bands on this list. Not number one, not number two, but R.E.M., Night Swimming off Automatic for the People.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, so you guys are much bigger, again, like the Pixies, much bigger R.E.M. fans, obviously, as we've established. So I don't know... Like, for REM fans, I don't know where this song ranks. Like, if people think this is, like, a corny-ass
song.
Okay. Yeah. I love this song. It's a beautiful song.
It's the same thing as Everybody Hurts, man. It's like Michael Stipe being vulnerable for you.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Like, it's like looking into an open wound.
Well, that's why it's funny, because so far, that's, like, the two... You two have had two REM songs, and it was this and Everybody Hurts so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I learned from... the REM podcast with Adam Scott and Scott Aukerman is that Adam Scott is apparently the biggest REM fan in the world. He seems to not like...
To a fault!
He seems to not dislike anything. Like, he
yeah,
likes everything.
That was ridiculous,
he
kind
just,
of.
He enjoys
his thoughts on REM.
He likes every
fuck
single
Adam
one
Scott.
Of them.
I like him, but those, like some of the... Like his just...
And will get upset if you trash even slightly
yeah,
any
you
of their songs
or
albums.
More of an objective view on the band if you're going to do...
Next up, a band I don't know, or Jesus and the Mary Chain, Just Like Honey.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This was on my list. I think it made its way off over the course of like a few bubble months, but this song was fucking great.
Yeah. I'll lose credit here. I'll lose, like, cool credit by admitting that I didn't know this song until I watched Lost in Translation, but it's just got such a big sound. You know, the reverb on the drums and the vocals, it's just really smooth.
Yeah, it's great.
But I feel like this fits in with, like, obviously Lost in Translation, because Kevin Shields did that soundtrack,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So it fits into that that genre, which is like, I remember you being super into.
Yeah. Big shoegazy,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wistful.
Especially
this
yeah.
this is an all-time classic song. This
yeah.
song is really fucking good.
Yeah.
There we go. That's Mance's 65 through 61. Bob, your number 65.
We have Faith No More, right?
Faith No More from Out of Nowhere.
So not epic. I guess this is the other big hit. Is this the other big hit?
I don't know.
No.
I only know epic.
Well, tell us.
You guys all know that. Okay, so this is a car test song. I was listening to my iPod on shuffle, and this song came on, and I was just like, "Fuck yeah!" Just played it really loud.
Yeah, I think their second biggest hit is the cover of "The Easy like Sunday yeah. Morning,"
and also "We Care a Lot." Right?
That was, oh yeah, that was a hit of course, too. Yeah.
But I feel like this sounds like a hit though, doesn't it?
You could have put this song in Terminator 2 soundtrack instead of You Could Be Mine, and it would have been the same fucking outcome.
That's a good point.
This song rules.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage you guys to go listen to it independently and just, like, do the car test with it.
Off the same album as Epic.
Yeah.
The real thing.
It's this song rules.
There's a certain, like, I had a cousin who was just, like, he was like 10 or 12 years older than me. We saw him every now and again. He was like a rock and roll. He had like long hair, posters in his room, and like too much older than me for like me to hang out with him. But I was just like, God, fucking guy's awesome. And like, and fucking Faith No More is the band that I just equate with like, oh yeah, and he must be going to like beer parties and like having sex with blonde women with spandex shorts on, like you know whatever the like 90s like ideal for a 10-year-old boy was, but like. This band captures that sort of energy to me where it's just like, yeah, fucking rock and roll and party and fucking be a dumbass.
I want to, during our break, I want to look up and see if this song was a hit, because I feel like it was at least a minor hit. Okay, we can move on to the next song.
Next song is another crossover song. First time we're talking about it, though. One Hit Wonder, Harvey Danger, Flagpole Sitta.
Is it possible that this is the only good song that this guy ever wrote? I feel like it's not.
Do you know what this guy went on to do?
No.
He founded Barsuk Records. Barsuk.
No.
They were like Pacific Northwest. They were the record label that found like Death Cab for Cutie and all those bands. So he's like actually went on to have a really good career. Outside of being a musician, but
is Harvey Danger a single person or is it a group?
Is a group.
The band, yeah.
But like, I feel like this song has such a specific voice.
Yeah.
Like he has such a like point of view that it feels like them being a one-hit wonder is a real shame.
Yeah.
Like it feels like they could have had a lot more songs.
This is like the number is this for you?
63.
64. Yeah.
And we'll be talking about it again next episode for somebody.
Me.
Yes. I just wasn't spoiling it.
And it's like, you know, sort of like pop music version of social commentary on other stuff that's going on in the era. And the lyric, "If you're bored, then you're boring," has always stuck in my heart like a knife, because whenever I'm bored, I'm just like, fuck, this is my problem.
But you heard that first from him?
Yeah, is that something that exists outside?
Yeah, like I heard that expression, but not through Harvey Danger.
Okay.
Only boring people get bored.
Minus that, it, like, if that, it, never mind. No, you keep your connection to the song. But if I heard that through Harvey Danger, I would have been right here with you.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not just that, you know, the irony and the agony is killing me. You know, it's like, I feel like it's a... an accurate commentary on the age, like I Want to Rage Against Machines, Published Zines, Want to Pierce My Tongue, It Doesn't Hurt, etc. Like I feel like he's sort of working on a level of like a you know, like The Onion or something like that. He's dissecting like pop culture around him in a way that like the guy from New Radicals. That is like I would say that is a song that.
That's, like, to me, that's the same level.
There's a parallel. I think this song is a better pop song than that song is. Because that song has that bullshit part where he's like, fashion shows with Beck and Hansen. Like, that part of that song sucks to me.
and I will kick your asses!
Yeah.
There's ever been a less credible threat to kick anyone's ass
Also, don't come for Courtney Love. She'll fuck you up. There's no way that guy could beat Courtney Love in a fight. And Courtney Love rules. So...
Speaking of Courtney Love,
whole next song,
wow,
our first,
is it Violet?
Not Courtney Love, not but Courtney
it's
our
Love.
First
it's a Nirvana song.
Yeah. Oh.
Nirvana song of six different songs.
Wow,
well, five songs, six versions. which we will get to in a specific okay, reason.
Yeah, I know where
Frances Farmer will have her revenge on Seattle.
Nice, yeah.
Off In Utero.
I think that this song is...
Any song off this album belongs on this list. Anyone.
Can I say that this is, when we're talking about Super and then being the best album of the grunge era, I think this is the best album.
Yeah, this...
But I think this song is specifically a good example of Kurt Cobain's lyricism. I think he's the best lyricist of that generation by a... Not even a mile. By a marathon. I don't think anybody touches him. 26.2 miles. Tom says that. That's like a oblique humble brag about Tom being a person who does fitness.
Yeah, things. Man's climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. We get it.
A year ago today.
Today?
Made it to the top.
You summited it today.
Allegedly.
Wow, he's on his train now.
I can't believe how perfect of a fit Bob is to this group. You know, about a year ago, as soon as Man fit it, Matt said to me, I'm going to spend this next year making Mance feel like he did.
No, I'm pretty sure that I climbed it. You're not going to make me doubt that.
I'm pretty sure that you didn't.
He's pretty sure. So, Frances Farmer will have a revenge in Seattle. First appearance by Nirvana. You know, just a great song off a great album.
I think it was Cracked Magazine. It may have been Mad Magazine. Who had a parody title for that. A Frantic Farmer Found My Head on the Other Side of Seattle. I thought that was really smart.
It's about what I expect from Mad Magazine.
I can't believe that stuck with you all day. Like, that exact headline.
Because it's so good.
So this next song...
The next song is the first of this band.
Of this band.
And we're going to have both this band and the lead singer of this band back a few more times.
Oh, no more Chris Cornell, please. Enough.
This is a song that will return on somebody else's list, Matt's list, in a couple episodes. How Soon Is Now, The Smiths.
This is another song that it was like, yeah. I picked the big hit from that band. I think there are other songs that are maybe better that the Smiths have done that I enjoy more, but this is like epic in a way that feels...
Epic, in a Faith No More way?
Epic in a higher on this list way. I feel like a lot of my high songs are getting spoiled early.
No, this song is incredible. And there was some radio station did a best. It may have been WFMU because that's one of the radio stations that I've ever like spent any real time listening to. Did like a best songs of all time, and this was their number one song of all time.
Really,
number one song of all time. That's how good it is.
It's good. It's like it's
good, but it's only good for number 62 of these two decades.
But it's like
that's what I mean. I feel like
No, but the thing
maybe
is,
we're breaking this up into different episodes.
No. Okay, so let me. So the Smiths are like a lot of people live and die with the Smiths, right? It's and How Soon Is Now is as much of a mission statement as any song has ever been, right? And it gives like I'm human and I need to be loved. Like you can't get any more like. Thesis statement-y nope. than that, and that's beautiful. And Morrissey is one of the great songwriters.
Would you say that nothing compares to this song? Sinead O'Connor, nothing compares to you.
Sinead version.
I'm groaning, Joey, not your song pick.
Hey man, I'm trying to transition however I can.
So this is one. I mean, I love this song. I think Sinead O'Connor sings beautifully. I hope that Tom has heard the Chris Cornell version of this song.
Oh, of course.
Okay.
I have.
All right.
Ugh.
Why do you hate Chris Cornell so much?
But what's interesting about this is, this is a Prince song.
I don't hate Chris Cornell, but like, we're talking about the 80s and 90s. And
well, now we're talking about Sinead O'Connor.
Yeah.
This is personal.
So we're talking about Sinead O'Connor, but this is a Prince song. And Prince wrote this song, and it's like, I think Sinead O'Connor, she sings it beautifully. It's a music video that stuck with me my whole life. It's great. I don't know if I know any other Sinead O'Connor songs, but this song just like slays me.
It's great. Yeah, I like how you have the unabashed, like emotional, like dicks out songs on your list.
Yeah, when I think of Nothing Compares to You, I think dicks out, baby. Just take these dicks out.
Shaved head, dicks out.
Shaved head. But speaking of dicks out,
naked. Naked and Afraid.
Speaking of dicks out, Love Fool by the Cardigans.
No, that's the next round.
Oh, shit.
Jumping ahead, spoiling.
I like that song too, though.
Matt's, right, so my next, Matt's number 65.
So the next song, this is the song that kicked off my revision that I did today, because it only occurred to me late that this song, I thought this song was newer, and then when I realized it was in this era, I slid it in here. And you guys know Ted Hawkins?
No.
No.
You thought it was newer than this?
Yeah.
I would guess this is from the 70s or the 60s.
Yeah, when is this from?
This song's from 1982. This guy was like, I don't want to spoil anything for anybody, but I don't have any Daniel Johnson on my list, and like Ted Hawkins kind of fills in.
Me neither.
Really? I thought you might.
Yeah.
So Ted Hawkins kind of fills that void for me, because he was homeless, and he just like played songs. And this song in particular,
kind of like
you
Justin
listen
Bieber.
To the lyrics, it's all, it's what?
Justin Bieber was homeless playing songs in the street,
too. All right, let's go back to what I was saying.
Fuck you. Vance lost all credibility.
It's true. Accurate parallel. Good.
When was Justin Bieber fucking homeless?
When he was a kid. That's how he got discovered. His family was homeless, and he was playing music on the street. He was busking. That's a fact.
Fuck Justin Bieber. Fuck him up.
Yeah, the comparison was just to fuck with you, but it's a true fact. All right, go ahead.
But yeah, but this song in particular, it's another one of these nakedly emotional songs. I'm sorry you're. It's like him singing to another like homeless lady, like I'm sorry you're sick. What do you want from the liquor store? Like, because that's the best he can do for it. And it's just such a beautiful idea.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful idea for a song. And it's executed, so I'll buy you all your belly can hold.
Next song, man, we've talked about already.
Yeah.
Pavement.
So.
Kennel District.
Yeah. So this is a Scott song.
Is this Wowie Zowie?
Yeah. And it was, I had, too drunk to remember now, but there's another song that was by him off.
We have hours to go
later out off of Right in the Corners, but this one, I don't know what it is about this song, but from the first time I heard it, I was like, I fucking heard this song somewhere, and I spent like the last 20 years being like, where the fuck? It sounds just like a song that I know, and I was never ever able to put my finger on it, which leads me only to believe that there is no song. And it just is a song that just exists, like just beyond my reach of something that I know, and I think that there's not one. And I think that's why this song's so good, in a weird way. Like, it just feels like a song that I've heard, but it isn't. It's this song that I've heard. And I get that feeling every single time I hear it. And it's not Malcolmus. And like, from what I understand about him, he probably hates this song because he didn't write it. So, like... But yeah, like again, same vibe as the other Pavement Silver Juice song. It's just the ultimate like hanging out song, but like I don't know, it makes you think about. It's a little sadder, but like legitimately written from a sadder perspective than most Pavement songs that don't let you into the emotional thing. And this barely does.
Yeah,
somehow it does.
Pavement keeps an ironic distance from things.
But like, do you hear any kind of like weird emotional pull? And it's almost the music, more so than him singing.
Yeah, because I can't understand the lyrics. Really.
Yeah, me either.
You know, I'll give it a listen on.
Like the only part is like, why didn't you stay? Like there's a very longing. Yeah, but anyway, yeah. So that's in there. There's more Pavement to come. But
speaking of bands and artists,
here's another one that I was
the lyrics
like,
of.
I was like, where do these motherfuckers fit in?
Primus, Jerry Was Race Car Driver.
Again. Pump this shit up, because like, catch me in a certain mood, and I'll tell you Primus is the best band of the 90s too. Like, I fucking love Primus.
You know,
so
when Tom was writing for what was the music website?
Glorious Noise?
No, the more recent one. You left
Up Rocks.
Yeah, when you were writing for Up Rocks,
yeah.
I pitched the idea of Primus as being the only band that had no like as the one unique band in the world.
Oh yeah.
And I wanted to write that article, but then I stumbled upon Bjork, and I fucking didn't write the article.
That'll be something we touch on later.
Why this song of all the Primus songs? Why this one?
Because he puts the engine revving sound along with the bass like riff. And it just rocks harder than anything else.
I saw Primus in Los Angeles with Heener, and it was like...
I saw Primus in New York with Heener.
And it was nice.
I saw Primus in the Stone Pony without Heener.
You missed out, man. Although the Stone Pony is probably the best venue of all the ones. And it was like
summer stage
heavy, man. They were a fucking metal band.
They are like, a metal band.
Like, people were fresh.
I fucking love Primus. I could have put a million other Primus songs on here, and again,
a million Primus songs fell short of my list. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, they're an album band to me. It's one of those things.
Well, that's exactly it. So when it comes down to a band like that, it's like, well, this is the one that fits into the playlist the best. I mean, like, if it didn't kick ass, I wouldn't. Like, I could have put DMV on, for that matter, but, like, Dog Will Hunt. Like, there's a couple...
There's a couple little expressions. If I believe, if I'm correct, that's a sample from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2.
Ah, nice. And that's an expression, apparently, like, in Texas.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That dog will hunt.
Yeah.
Like, great expression.
It's like some... redneck wisdom. Like, yeah. say the most obvious shit that you can possibly say, and it passes off as wisdom.
I don't know, but I see a place for dog. It's like, you talk about, like, it's like, how good is something? It's like, oh, that dog will hunt.
Sure. Like,
yeah. That dog might
not. Something a used car salesman will say.
Yeah.
Right.
Next song, next few songs that we've talked about.
I don't have any breakthroughs here.
We talked about this band a lot, but not this song. Coffee and TV by Blur.
This was one of my top three songs in high school.
I mean, it's a grand song.
Still, yeah. And it's not even a good example of a Blur song because it's the most baldly, like, oh, we like what they're doing in American indie rock, so let's make our American indie rock record. And, like,
well, that's what I mean. Graham wanted to leave the band before the self-titled album because they were doing the Britpop stuff, and he didn't like that. He wanted to do what they were doing.
To me, this is the, like, anthem of that shit.
You know what? When I just saw him, someone in the audience was like, "Coffee and TV," and he was like, "I don't know the chords to that song. I don't remember how to play it." He did not know how to play this song. He's like, "I know the shapes that my fingers make, but I can't remember the chords."
Yeah,
it sounds like bullshit, kind of. Maybe he just didn't want to play it.
It's got to be.
And then yeah,
you know, what can you say?
Your number 61. We just talked about.
You already heard it, so not much to say.
Snoop Dogg.
Is this the end of an episode?
It's the end of the episode, so come back.
It's time for Dr. Dre in the next episode?
It's time for the next episode, which Dr. Dre will be in the first batch of songs we talk about in the next episode. So come back for that whenever this is. I don't know how often it's going to come out. Maybe every week or every 2 weeks for a little bit, but come back.
Maybe never.
Number 60 through 41. Here we go. Next time on Tub Talk. Night swimming.